Francis McCarthy's on line one. Hiya, Francis.
Hiya, Mick. How you doing this fine morning?
We're very good. We like to keep things a little more lighthearted. So we've cover some of these serious subjects here. And you're one of the most lighthearted people I know.
Thank you.
I mean that in the nicest way, by the way. What always fascinated you, and what did you want to be?
So I grew up in Canada, outside of Ottawa, in a beautiful dark sky location, a small housing development on a golf course. And I went out at night and lay outside and looked up and went, look at them. Aren't they amazing? And it was stars. 100% stars and space. All my childhood.
I don't think people realize, coming from, you know, city and often urban areas, people in the country will realize more. And if you go to maybe Shirkin Island, or if you go to West Kerry, perhaps, okay, you need, and anyone who goes sailing, who does overnights at sea, will know exactly what I mean. And when you're offshore and there's no...
This is the sky that everybody used to see. And now it's a privilege. It's a, can you get out of town? Can you get away from where you live? A lot of people can't. So you've got to... I was lucky that I grew up with these amazing skies. So I said, I need to study astronomy. I need to do physics. I liked science. I liked math. So this was what I wanted to do. And it's what I did do. I worked for nearly 20 years at Black Rock Castle Observatory. Now retired, enjoying that. It was always space and stars for me. Now, what you said about Shirkin, the husband's family, his grandfather was born on Shirkin. So we go to Shirkin whenever we can. And there's about 3 street lamps on Shirkin. And so we'll stay in one place and we'll walk to the pub. And on the way back, he literally had to hold my hand to stop me walking into the hedge, because I got my head back and I'm looking straight up. It's divine.
One of our favorite family memories is we were with another family, our friends, the Wellands. And we were on Shirkin Island. And you know where the pontoon used to be? There's a kind of a little gangway up there, and then there's the abandoned castle. And there's a flat patch of grass. We put blankets out there, and we literally lay down flat and looked up at the sky with the unpolluted skies, we'd say. Even though there's houses in Shirkin, and the pubs and the hotel was in Shirkin, and Baltimore has light. A really dark place, and the absolute beauty that you could see. I think we were looking for shooting stars that night or something.
Yes, well, there's a fabulous meteor shower each summer in August. So a lot of people are like, oh, August, I'm going to go out, I'm going to go looking. There's shooting stars any night. There's also satellites, increasing number of satellites. I was looking up the other night, and I saw 3 in about 30 seconds. Just literally having a quick look up before I went in the house, and, you know, unbelievable number of satellites. So there's almost, I'd say, get out as soon as you can, because everybody wants to launch more satellites. Everybody wants internet. Everybody wants communications. I want the sky, and I want stars and space.
What about the Starlink train? Is that passing over Ireland anymore?
When they launch, so whenever the Starlinks get launched, they get launched all together in a row. Then they separate out. So if you see the train, it's, you know, within a day or so of launch, before they've separated out. You're going to keep seeing them because the Starlinks are cheap, easy to put up, and they're not built to last. So they come down pretty fast. So you've got to keep replacing them. It's a way of doing business of, you know, make a lot for not much and don't worry about how long they last, versus make something fabulous and it'll run forever, like the Mars rovers. This is why I love space, because there was a spacecraft went to Mars when I was 8, and it landed when I was 9. And I was like, this is so cool. We've put a spacecraft on another planet. There's rovers on Mars that were meant to last 3 months, and they lasted 7 years. That's technology doing what it needs to do.
I'm surprised that anyone would put anything with a short life into space. You know, the cost per kilo of getting it up there in the first place.
But that's it. The cost is coming down. As there's bigger rockets launching, they have a larger payload, and you make your spacecraft smaller. So it doesn't cost so much.
And was the Mars landing in 76 your inspiration? You sound a bit young to be looking at the moon landing in 69.
Well, yeah, I don't remember the moon landing at all. I was 3. I've asked my dad about it, and he said, we weren't interested in it. We had some students staying with us. They wanted to watch it, so we stuck it on for them. So I think, you know, because my parents weren't that fussed, I don't think 3-year-old Francis had a chance to get interested. The husband, Jonathan, he claims to remember it. I think it's a family story that he's been told, whether he remembers it or not. And the story goes that the younger brother walked at the same time. So I think that's just grown legs and become a McCarthy story.
Okay, a couple of questions then for our friendly space cadet, if I can call you that.
You can indeed, Mick.
Were they up there, in your opinion, in 1969?
Absolutely. Way too complicated to make a whole fake thing. It's easier to send somebody to the moon. You know, and you can talk to the astronauts who went to the moon. Some of them are still alive, very few at this stage, but they went. They discovered. They were awestruck. And if you see, like, the Artemis 2, who recently went around the moon, oh, my God, such excitement, such engagement, such joy at discovery.
Okay, next question. What's out there?
Everything and nothing and more, as far as you can see. Looking at space brings you completely down to Earth.
But it brings you back in time, doesn't it?
Back in time, but also you are on the surface of a small, fragile planet looking out and out and out and out. It's
so what we're seeing, even at the speed of light, could be billions of years ago.
Not so much. Billions kind of hard for us to see because it'd be pretty faint. You know, you can see the Andromeda Galaxy if you know where to look in the autumn months. A little hard right now because it's really low on the horizon. But when you see Andromeda and your eyeball can see it, no telescope, no binoculars, the light left it millions of years ago.
Mm.
You know, and that's nearby. That's near enough that your eye can see it. And literally, to see something, light goes into your eye. And that light left a star in another galaxy and has traveled across space for 3 million years to end up in your eyeball. Oh,
that's incredible.
I love it.
To even try to comprehend
it.
That.
I love it. Yeah.
Okay, so you comprehend the science of things. Let me ask you to speculate a little here.
I can speculate all you like.
A kind of a leading question. What do you think Elon Musk is up to? Do you think he's developing robots and tunneling systems to send a spaceship full of robots up to Mars to build his little colony or what?
I think he's gone off Mars. I think Mars is hard.
The moon, then?
Maybe he's going. I don't know what he's up to. A friend of mine wrote a book. Okay, a friend of mine that I know online. I've chatted to him a few times, but this is, you know, an internet friendship. And he said, I've got this book that I've written. And he sent it to me. And for reading, and I read it, he had Elon Musk in it as a character. And I literally bounced out of that book so hard because I can't stand the man and the approach and it's just too much for me. And I actually wrote him a very nice email and said, look, I'm real sorry that you've worked on this book and you've got this nice story, but you've got Elon Musk in there as a character and he's loathsome. He's just, no, I'm not interested in what he's doing. I don't think he's doing anything for anybody except himself. I don't think he has humanity and our best interests at heart. I think he's, I don't know what he is.
Okay.
I bounce off of him.
No. I had to ask because of your oodles of experience there. Do you believe in aliens?
For sure. 100% there is life out there.
Were you ever in Area 51, asks Desi.
Well, I wasn't in Area 51, but I did. We did go via Roswell. The husband and I did a tour around the U.S. when we left, when he had been working in the States and we left. And we went round New Mexico. And Roswell was a TV show about it. If you remember the TV show, or I guess early 90s it would be, about the Roswell and did the aliens land and then did they reappear as teenagers and go to high school. Great TV show. Loved it. It was great fun. that's about the extent of it, not Area 51. My belief in aliens is an out there belief. Space is big. They're not here.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
They're out there somewhere.
Out there. They're out there, yeah. And even if they sent a message,
mm-hmm.
we could get it and then think about a response and send it back. And 50 years later, they'll get the response and they'll think about it. What message are we going to send to aliens? What's a valid message? Are we going to say, we're humans and we do art and here's some of our famous art? That would be interesting. You know, we're not going to be able to communicate science because anybody who's out there communicating to us has the same science we do.
I know exactly, you know? The message we should send.
we've got Elon. Do you want it?
No, we should send, I'm from Cork. Where are you from?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. It's great talking to you. I'll digress slightly and let you tell me a little bit about Canada Day and the pride in your nation.
Yes. So the accent might give me away. You know, the accent's a good old mix of everything. But, you know, a Canadian in Cork and Canada Day is coming up. Canada Day is on the 1st of July. Don't get it confused with the 4th of July. That's the neighbours. That's the noisy neighbours next door. So 1st of July is Canada Day, celebrating Confederation, celebrating the bringing together of different parts of Canada as one nation. So Canada's a young country, you know. There's buildings around me that are older than the country that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a handful of Canadians in Cork, only a handful. You see them at the Patrick's Day Parade, normally with the inline hockey skates on, zipping up and down the Patrick's Day Parade. So I know that there's a few of us out there. So Canada Day for me is a community and friendship and a big barbecue and a big Canadian flag.
It's an amazing place. I won't confess to having seen much of it, but I have seen Vancouver and Whistler, two amazing places.
Gorgeous. Yeah, I have a friend who lives near Whistler and it's just beautiful.
But they say that Banff is 10 times what Whistler is. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Jonathan's been to Banff. I haven't. So that's the husband. He's been to Banff and it's unbelievably beautiful, exquisite. Because I grew up in Eastern Ontario, went to university in Toronto, had parents who lived out on the West Coast in Vancouver Island. So those are the kind of places I've been to more than any other. I've skipped over the prairies completely. Never been to Saskatchewan, never been to Manitoba, never been to Alberta. So, I mean, it's a huge country, second largest country in the world.
Half of the Irish population haven't seen much of Ireland.
Well, how many Irish population haven't seen much of Canada? Everybody I hear is heading to Canada.
We should go. You should go.
Canada's the target. I should go back. Last time I went was for a wedding. Had a fabulous time, was in Toronto for a wedding. One of my college friends eventually got round to getting married, age 60. There's hope for us all.
As you do. Listen, anyway, Frances, you dreamt of the stars when you were a child and you ended up, and happy retirement. You put your whole life into gazing at the stars, shall we say, working in the Black Rock Observatory.
That's right.
Well, happy retirement to you and to Jonathan.
Thank you. Thank
Cheers.
You, Mick.
All the best, Frances.